أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, Wal Fajr wa layalin asr. By the Fajr and by the 10 nights, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Many of the Muslim scholars agree that this 10 nights refers to these days in which we are in the 10th of it, these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. As such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to have received and be a part of these days of that prayer that we mentioned earlier. To be the ones who Musa alayhi salam wanted to join, and that is the ones in the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is in these days, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we know, that when Musa alayhi salam was called to the side of the mountain after the Exodus, he was called to receive the Torah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him up to the side of this mountain. In the end of Rabbi Athani, if I'm not mistaken, Jama'at Ula, Jama'at Athani, Rabbi Al-Awwal, Rabbi Athani. Then you have Rajab, the end of Shawwal. At the end of Shawwal, for Dhul Qa'dah. So you spent all of Dhul Qa'dah there, and it was these nights, the 10 nights, that he spent in addition, for he spent 40 days on the mountain. It was these 10 nights in Dhul Hijjah, and on this day that he completed his 10 nights. With Musa alayhi salam, there's many, many ties between the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the mission of Musa, believe it or not. As it is foretold in the books before us, the scriptures, and as it is well known that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who would come like Musa or like Moses, in that Musa alayhi salam, he married, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married. Musa alayhi salam had children, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had children. Musa alayhi salam ruled over his people, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled over his people. And so, inshallah ta'ala, one of the greatest events in the time of Musa alayhi salam, it is worthy of mention, some of the details which many of us may not know, that gives us somewhat of a better perspective on what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Musa with, and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inherited from Musa, as well as all of the prophets, and that is his staff. So bi'idhnillah ta'ala, today we will speak about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Harun and their mission, the staff, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it in the Holy Quran, Yawm Zina, inshallah, the day of decorations. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in his book, they said, surely these two, talking about Musa and Harun alayhi salam, these two are magicians. Their object is to drive you out from your land with magic and to overcome your chiefs and nobles. And then he said, this is Fir'aun, surely, we can produce magic like this. So pick a day that we will meet, and a day that neither you shall fail to keep, or we shall fail, shall not fail to keep, rather, in an open and wide place, where both shall have just an equal chance to be seen by the public. This is the event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, the meeting after Musa alayhi salam had met Fir'aun for the first time, when he cast down his staff and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed all that were there the sign. Now, according to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, after he had made this appointment, he went back to his chiefs and his magicians, and he said, look, these two signs, or these two things that Musa alayhi salam came with, his hand shining, beaming, and his staff. Now keep in mind, for us, bear this out, be reminded. When we see somebody, if they hold up a light today, it's not a big deal. You know, it could be a flashlight, it could be something. You know, we have electricity everywhere. That was not the case in the time of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa the sign that when he would put it towards his breast and pull it out, it would beam, like almost like a flashlight or brighter. And his other sign was his staff. So Fir'aun, he's talking about this. He said, these two We cannot hope to challenge him except if we come and best him or come with better. So, they had picked the day of decoration, which would be 6 months in the future. Fir'aun, he collected from all of the Bani Israel and all of those available to him. He gathered them together, some say 70,000, some say 80,000, some say more. But he assigned 70 teachers to teach these, the best of these people that followed Fir'aun, by the way, teach them to be magicians. So after teaching all of them, bringing them to a city, or from a city, some of them come from a city called Nineveh, there were in fact 70,000 total. So once they had been taught, once the best of them had been determined, Fir'aun, he picked from this 70,000, 7,000. And then he picked from that 7,000, 700. And then he picked from that 700, the best 70. And when he selected the best 70, he chose who would be the best of the best of the best of the best. That would be their leader, their chief. And the best information that we have to us is that his name was Shama'un. Now, of the other magicians that were the top of the class, so to speak, the scholars report that there were two brothers from a region named As-Sa'id. As-Sa'id. This is an area in Egypt. If I'm not mistaken, it's a region there till this day. These brothers, they lived there. And Fir'aun had heard about them. And they were commissioned and summoned to be amongst the best of the best to face Fir'aun. One scholar has it that Pharaoh sent an emissary to them. And when he arrived, the brothers were afraid and concerned. So they went to their mother and they asked her, where could they find the grave of their father? At this time, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it was known that those magicians who had great knowledge had the ability to speak and converse with the dead. And so, the brothers wanted to speak to their father and get his advice on what they should do. So they arrived at his grave, and they shouted his name at the top of their lungs. And it was not long before their father responded, and they asked him, saying, look, Fir'aun has sent his messenger to us, calling us to his court to do battle. His emissary tells us of two men. They have no weapons. They have no army. But they are charismatic and intelligent. And they are a thorn in the side of Fir'aun because they are winning over his people. Pardon me. He told them, they have some type of staff. When they drop it to the ground, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stand in its way. And there is nothing that it won't eat, whether wood, stones, or iron. So their father replied to them, here's what I advise you. When you find them, watch them. And spy upon them until you find that they are sound asleep. Once they are sleeping, see if you can seize or speak to their staff. You should know A magician cannot work his magic while he is sleeping. So if you find that the staff responds to you while both men are fast asleep, know that this is not magic, but it is the command of Allah, and you will surely fail. If this be the case, warn Pharaoh that even if he should gather every soul on the earth, he can never hope to win. So, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the brothers arrived at Pharaoh's court. They learned where they could find Musa and Harun. They searched them out and shadowed them until nightfall. As soon as they were sure that Musa and Harun alayhi salam were fast asleep, the brothers decided to creep close and have a look at the staff. It so happened that Musa alayhi salam had laid it down not far from where he was sleeping. So silently the brothers crept in, crept close, and it was not too much of a distance between them and the staff before it leapt up and stood straight up and burst into all directions, stretching. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, according to Sa'id bin Jubair and on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what appeared before them had a tail long enough to cross the Nile. In the blink of an eye, the staff had transformed into a huge and fearsome dragon. Both brothers screamed. They had come far from Pharaoh's palace, but that was the only place they knew, so they ran for their lives, and the dragon followed. With every stride that they took, they cursed the name of their father for making such a stupid suggestion that they think that they could seize the staff of Musa alayhi salam. They ran and ran and ran and ran, and the dragon right behind them, snapping at their heels. All the way until they reached the gates of Pharaoh's palace, and it was not until they were safely inside that the dragon stopped and let them be. Out of breath, unable to speak, they collapsed in Pharaoh's court, straining to catch their breath. One look at them filled Pharaoh with worry. After some time, the brothers told Pharaoh what had happened to them and what had made them come to him in this way. When he heard their story, Pharaoh and his worry became full of fear. "Get out," he said to them. "Get out of my face, you cowards. Get out." The staff might be outside. "So what can a staff do to you?" They said, "Didn't you hear what we told you?" Pharaoh was not having it, even though he himself refused to go outside his own palace. So he called his guards to throw the magicians out. And they went so very reluctantly, kicking and screaming, begging Pharaoh not to put them outside of his palace, fearing that the dragon was waiting there to devour them. And although Pharaoh did not act upon their advice, he most certainly was concerned, almost to the point that he considered imprisoning them just so that the news of their story would not reach the ears of his people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. So the day of Zina, of the Yom Zina rather, came. And the people gathered from all over the kingdom of Pharaoh. Now, these two brothers, they knew what they were about to face. And so they went to Pharaoh privately. And they asked him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, they said to Fir'aun, will there surely be a reward for us if we are winners? And Fir'aun, he replied, قَالَ نَعْمْ, yes, you shall then surely be of those brought near me. Meaning that they will be members of his court from now on, the best and the highest position that you could get at that time. So, all of the magicians gathered, waiting for Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. Once they had gathered, Musa and Harun alayhi salam, they actually rode the staff itself to the event and faced the magicians where the court had been laid and prepared. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Holy Quran, as soon as Musa alayhi salam faced the magicians, he said to them, woe unto you. Invent not a lie against Allah unless he will destroy you completely by torment. And surely he who invents a lie against Allah will fail miserably. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions what the magicians said to themselves when they heard these words. They said, these are not the words of a magician. Meaning, they know how they talk. And they were concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, then they debated with one another what they must do. And they kept their talk secret. Meaning that just this word from Musa alayhi salam made them doubt themselves. And doubt that they would win because, again, they were not facing magicians. And they knew it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so they said to Musa, O Musa, either you throw first or we shall be the first to throw. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, Musa alayhi salam said, nay, you throw first. Then behold, their ropes and their sticks by their magic appeared to him as though they moved fast. And they threw their ropes and their sticks and said, by the might of Fir'aun, it is we who shall certainly win this day. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you should know that it should not be assumed by the words here that they were just twigs and ropes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that it was amazed, or it was amazing, and they felt confident, it's because of what they had achieved. These were not just some, you know, penny-ante magicians. Each of their ropes were 70 camels thick. 70 camels thick. And when they cast them, they swelled. So almost as if it was a mountain and appeared as a huge ball of snakes writhing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when Musa saw this, he conceived a fear in himself. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. This is Allah's words. When he saw this, now think, now, bear in mind, he had already seen his own staff come to life. He knew what was there. So when he saw this, this scared him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to Musa alayhi salam, قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. We said to him, do not be afraid. Surely you will have the upper hand. And throw that which is in your right hand. It will swallow up that which they have made. That which they have made is only a magician's trick, and the magician will never be successful, no matter what amount of skill that they have have attained. So, with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa was emboldened and his fear evaporated. And he dropped his staff. And it swelled and swelled. And as we mentioned before, its tail was, maybe some of y'all need to go and visit the Nile to see when we say its tail could stretch across the Nile. Just its tail, not itself. And when it swelled, subhanAllah, it is truly the vision of a fire-breathing dragon. That's the best way that we can explain it. Its eyes burned like coals, according to the scholars and the way they described it. When it roared and it breathed fire. It leapt and smashed one of the walls of the town. And nearly 20,000 people, according to the scholars that day, died trying to get away from it and trampling one another. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, its mouth, when it stretched it, was 80 arms lengths wide. And it leapt and one by one swallowed every one of the ropes that the magicians had caused to move and writhe as if they were snakes themselves. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as the dragon began eating up the magic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the magicians fell on their faces saying, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Moses. Fir'aun, he himself had already left his throne. And you should know, one of the reasons that he had prided himself on, oh, I must be a god, is that he had, by some way, some means, Allah knows best, that he did not go and move his bowels for months and months and months and months and months at a time without getting sick. So he felt that he was not like ordinary people who had to humiliate themselves and squatting. He thought he was more than this. When he saw this dragon, everything that was backed up, backed out. And he couldn't find himself long enough to do anything but stay in the restroom for months. And he called to his people, to the magicians that he found, prostrating. Oh, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, you believe in Moses, alayhi salam, before I give you permission? Surely he is the teacher of all of y'all. He taught you magic. So I will cut off your hands and feet on opposite sides, and I will crucify you on the trunks of date palms, and you shall know which of us can give the severe and more lasting punishment. They turned to him and said, we prefer you not, meaning we do not choose you over these clear signs that have come to us and to him whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created us. So do what you wish, for you can only decree, or you only have as much power in the life of this world. All the 72 magicians that faced Musa alayhi salam, they had grown old in the typical fashion of a hunched over depiction that you see these days. Five of them, one named Sabura, one named Ghadir, one named Jeft, one named Khatat, and the last, Masfah, it was these five that prostrated and fell to their knees. These are the ones that Fir'aun crucified and kept his promise. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the time does not permit us to go into more detail today But inshallah ta'ala, we will continue bi-idhnillah this khutbah and to expound upon its meaning and the lessons, inshallah ta'ala, that we can learn from this day of decoration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and assigned as a great event and a great lesson for that time and for times to come. But it should be enough, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, to know in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He taught these magicians who really thought that they could best the peoples with their magic and their trickery. He taught them a good lesson. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decrees a thing, all He has to do is say be, and it is. And as we know in the Quran, He says, "Al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayat dunya," that these things, the wealth, your children, they are only decoration. Zina, decoration for the life of this world. These five magicians that we mentioned just now, they went to bed that the day before, kafir, and woke up that day as martyrs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. And Fir'aun, He surely did punish them. But still they got the best of rewards. I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives as He wishes and gives to whom He pleases. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with the best and given us the best opportunity. As He mentions in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Hell, you who believe, shall I guide you to a trade, a bargain? You know, I'm sure the sisters, they really get it. Sale. I got something for you that you can win. Shall I guide you to this? Tijara, a trade that will save you from a painful torment. What is this? That you believe in Allah and His Messenger, that you strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. That would be better for you if you but knew. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, there is nothing better than what Allah has given us to be Muslim. We in this city, we witnessed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless these people. Yesterday, 77 degrees. On the day of Arafah, the day that their father begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him for one sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. And made it as an auda, a returning event in which every successive generation could go there, complete the manasik, the rituals, and expect and hope surely to gain his forgiveness. Did you see any recognition of that here? Allah blessed them with just a beautiful day. Did you see anyone thank him? Or did they get out and act like they didn't have to wear any clothes? Did you see anyone say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? Did you see anyone thank him? Did you see anyone try, okay, well this one day, just out of the fact that I know no one but God controls the weather, I'm going to be on my best behavior. Let alone the fact that this was Yawmul Arafah, the day of Arafah. Where would you be if Allah didn't tell you this? Where would you be if Allah had not blessed you with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? How would you know that this was the day that if you had were able to, you should be fasting if you were not on Arafah itself? How would you know of what this day was about and its significance and its importance and its critical need for you to observe and to be thankful? And how would you know about the day that would follow it? Eid al-Adha,
if nobody told you. There's not a soul walking the streets of this city that does not know of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his sacrifice. Do you see one day on their calendar that they commemorate it? It's not one person in the city that hasn't watched the news to know that this day, 4 million people are there in Mecca, completing the Hajj and celebrating the Eid. Everybody knows this is Eid, even though they may pronounce it Eid of the Muslims. Yeah, but they know it. Does anybody know why do they care? And how would you know to care if Allah hadn't blessed you to be Muslim? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to this knowledge. We have an opportunity to benefit ourselves. We have the best, and we should not look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them of decorations, fleeting things that will melt in their hands, that they will be stripped of, and someone will toss them in a hole and cover them up and fight over what they left behind. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that's not what is important to us. This dunya is fleeting. Kullu man alayha fan. Wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everything on it will blow away, and only the face of your Lord will remain. I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, that we are in the last month of the Islamic calendar. This is the 10th day. And that means that this is the month traditionally that the Muslims pay their annual zakat. The zakat that is on the wealth you have saved. You saved a dollar, you have to pay minimum 20 cents. All right? 2.5% actually. So that's less than that, actually. A dollar is two and a half cents. Not even 20 cents. Pardon me. $100 is what I was thinking, or maybe, you know, $10. But here, Allah is, this is not tithing. He doesn't come and say, okay, 10% of what you got. You got more, 20%. You got more, 30%. He don't do that. 2.5%. You got a dollar, you laid by what's the waste of it, what is necessary to remove. Understand the word zakah, yuzaki. Zakah means to purify. What purifies it, what makes it clean, is to take 2.5% off of it. This is considered from your savings. You have an income that every single dime that you need it has to go in order for you to get to the next day. You don't have a means to pay zakat. So if you can't pay it, you do it. But, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we're not dealing with the IRS. Ain't no loopholes in Islam. You're not going to, you know, shortchange Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like he ain't going to find you. That's not this deen. So what I'm telling you is that it's best to find whatever you can to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to keep yourself safe. The zakat, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it acts as just, especially the men know, that when you cut the hair, it grows. And this is the same thing. When you cut that little bit off of your wealth, it grows. You want to keep it in there, it's going to poison everything else. And be on the day of judgment, it will come chasing you. Daddy, come to me. Come embrace the filth of your wealth. Do not, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, do not doubt. For every one of us, it seems like death is a far off thing. And you should know that death visits the home of each and every one of us every day. Every day, it looks in on you. I'll be back. And it will be. So how are we going to prepare? The more you put off Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worse it's going to be. I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we have the responsibility, no one else, when it comes to this mission. As we mentioned in the khutbah earlier, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, every house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a place for the Hajj to be made. It may not be the place for the big Hajj, but it is the place of Hajj for the miskeen. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Jumu'ah Hajjul Miskeen. It is the Hajj of those who are poor. So they get the opportunity, if they come, to make the Hajj here every Friday. And you get the same reward. If Allah blesses you to have the ability to maintain this house, you get the same reward as if you maintain the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca. So when you want these big blessings, it takes a big sacrifice. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established this with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, to show us this is a serious thing. It's a big thing. It's a big blessing. And only those who have keen sight and intelligence see, oh my goodness, this is what people, they don't understand. This is an opportunity. Let me take advantage of it. Let me win. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Those who believe, they have already won, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. They don't let their money sleep in their pockets. They put it to work with the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remind you of this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, and I pray Allah ta'ala that we benefit from the reminder, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our good deeds, accepts our sacrifice, and admits us into His mercy. Ameen. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين. ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء ومنكر وبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء ومنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.